Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey everyone, this is the Queen of Extreme, Francine, and you are listening to Eyes Up here on the iHeartRadio Network or wherever you get your podcasts. As always, my co-host Chad is right by my side. Chad, how are you doing today, buddy?
The Chadster is doing just fine. A little tired, but I'm here and I'm ready to get going.
You still hungover from last week's big New Year's Eve party?
Just a tad. But the sunglasses are fully cocked on the top of my head, which means it's Eyes Up Here time.
They should be on your face. Cover the tiredness.
I wouldn't know which button to press if I put them all the way down.
And it's dark in the room, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, man. So what's going on? How's 2024 treating you so far?
So far, so good. Can't complain. 2024 was waiting for that calendar to change.
Yeah.
And can't complain so far.
I was hyping myself up this morning. I was like doing a self-motivation thing. I'm like, you know, this was all in my brain, not out loud. So don't think I'm a weirdo, but I was like sitting there and I'm just like, I think this is going to be my year. I think I'm going to work my ass off. I'm going to make a ton of money. I'm going to get to travel. I'm going to get to do stuff with the kids and the husband. And it's just going to be a really good year because last year wasn't so good. Last year was a lot of stress, and my goal for this year is to just be as stress-free as I possibly can and to just live life to the fullest and have a good time. Because, you know, I'm going to be 52 next month. Like, half my life is over. The glass is half empty. You know what I mean? So I just made it a point to tell myself, hey, We're just going to work our ass off and have a good time. And that's what I'm doing. That's my goal for 2024.
See, I like to think that the glass is half full.
You do. And I'm more of a pessimist, where you're the yin to my yang. You're the optimist. I'm the pessimist.
Yeah. So. You know, it's funny because I really personally needed that calendar to change. So I hate people that say, oh, it's just, you know, it doesn't mean anything. And it's just another day. And oh, you know, New Year's Day was just Monday. It
Kevin
doesn't
Nash
mean anything.
Said that.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I saw Kevin's tweet and I was just like, I don't know. I'm kind of thinking new year, new me.
Yes. I reset. I completely use it as a reset. I think that it's, if you have something that is not really like going your way or is not favorable and you need something that's a little bit of a push in the right direction, use a new year as that hump. Use it as that push. And I am one of those people that will absolutely take a goal, set it, and I use 2024 as that launching pad, as you know what? I set some goals, and that first day of the year was the beginning of anew.
I like to hear that. Yeah. I'm going to be more positive this year. So when I'm not positive, you kick me in my ass and you say, listen, lady, you said you were going to be positive and not negative. That's what I want to be. So
I'll try.
Yeah. So let's do that. But today we have another follow-up to a show. What did we do? About a month ago? 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, we did November 28th.
Wow. Okay. So it's been a month. We're going to do the second part because we had a lot of people respond and I wanted to finish it up. So we're going to do the second part to Ask Me Almost Anything. And again, the almost is in there because you should see what some people have asked me in the past. It's not very nice. It's not very good sometimes, but some people are respectful. And those are the questions that we're going to conquer. So
we're gonna whenever you're
ready, you can start shooting them at me and I'll answer them the best I can.
Sure. Yeah. And actually what was great about it too, is not only did we get the Twitter submissions from the first initial push, but under the postings of the YouTube preview for the episode, we got more. So there's some fresh questions as well as the ones that were originally submitted. So thank you to everybody that contributed to the pile, if you will. So I'm going to grab one out of here. And let's see what we got. This one is from at Samo Rosco 2002. What are some of your favorite movies and TV shows?
Wow. Well, again, I think we might have answered this before. My favorite movie of all time is 1968, Romeo and Juliet. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. I tend to like comedies, cause you know, I like to laugh. Romance. I like some, romantic movies as well, but comedies are my favorite. Anything that has to do with the vacation movies, Chevy Chase, like hilarious. Love those things. Just stuff that's funny. TV shows. I tend to watch a lot of reality television. So I love things like Big Brother, Survivor, The Challenge. Right now I'm watching The Challenge right now on MTV, just finished up Survivor. My DVR was so full, like with all of, like it said, you have 5 episodes of, Amazing Race. I'd finished up Amazing Race as well. I had so many episodes because I was so behind and I just binge watched like everything in order. So now I'm all caught up. But yeah, I love reality television. Now, I'm not really into like the Desperate Housewives. Maybe I would be. I've never sat down and watched them. It might be entertaining, but I tend to do the shows where there are physical challenges because I like to see people work for their money.
Interesting. Yeah. I never got into any of those shows. I watched the original run of like The Real World back in the day.
Oh, I love those. Yeah.
You know, they, whenever a new Real World came on, they'd rerun the older, you know, maybe like the first 2 or 3 seasons. So I'd watch those. But then like Road Rules, I never got into any of those.
Oh, I loved Road Rules.
Never loved them. Well, never got into them.
The Challenge came from those shows. It spawned right from those shows. And I don't know. I just, I enjoy it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I never got into it. But now I will piggyback off of, I do love the Vacation franchise. I do love those movies. Where would you say you rank them quickly out of the first? Let's just go with the first 4.
Christmas.
So you got, hang on, I'm just going to name them. You got Vacation, European, Christmas, and Vegas.
I'm pretty sure Christmas is number 1.
Okay.
I agree. I feel like the Wally World. Yeah, okay. But that's close to Christmas though, because that one was really good too. I might have to tie those. Yeah, I think Vegas might be, European might be last. Vegas might be third.
Yeah, that's kind of a toss up.
Yeah. I mean, they're still funny, but they kind of get to the point of, they start changing the kids around and
yeah.
It gets a little weird. But the first two, I mean, just classics. Like I can watch it 100 times over and not be bored, you know, so yeah. Funny.
Have you seen the reboot?
Yeah, I think I did, or parts of it, and I was just like, eh.
Hot garbage.
You can't fix like what's not broken. Don't fix it if it ain't broken, or if it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's what the thing is. Yeah, it's people. I think it's just a money grab. People are trying to just earn off of classics, and sometimes it just doesn't work.
So. Hot garbage. I'll say it again. Okay. So bad. Ed Helms. I mean, funny on The Office.
Yeah.
You cannot put that guy in a lead role. He is not a strong lead actor.
No, maybe it just was the wrong movie for him.
No, he's the side guy. We watched a Christmas movie that he was the lead in with Jennifer Garner as his wife. It's so bad.
This is just speaking of being bad. The backlash that the poor gentleman that played Ric Flair in the Iron Claw got.
Oh, yeah.
He made a statement. Did you see?
Oh, did he really?
Oh, yeah. And he apologized. If you don't like my Ric Flair, but he said he did the best that he could. I guess he saw everybody's like negative comments because there was not one positive review for this guy. And he just came out and stood up for himself and, you know, I acted it the best that I could. And I don't know. I felt bad for him. I was like, wow.
Yeah, it's funny. I don't think it was necessarily that his acting was bad because I like the way he delivered the dialogue. I think it's just that he looked really bad and he was super skinny.
So you saw the clip?
I saw the clip. Yeah, I watched the clip after all the chatter was going on about it. But I liked the way they shot it, and I liked the way that the promo was being delivered. I just think that he was poorly constructed and put together by the design wardrobe team, and the wardrobe department.
Yeah, it's a shame. I felt bad for the guy. I was like, wow.
You know, and he didn't sound like But what are they again? This is the hard part about doing a very specific genre film. You're going to pick it apart very, very, very stringently.
Yeah.
The Wrestler was so well done that you couldn't pick it apart that much because they weren't using real people. They weren't using characters that you
compare them to. Yeah. Right. Just an original character.
Right. So, you know, the only thing they used that was real in The Wrestler, I believe, was ROH. They used the backdrop of ROH. So, you know, you're using characters we know and have gotten to love over the years.
That was a great movie, by the way.
The Wrestler. Oh, yeah. Love The Wrestler. That was
a really good movie. Very sad.
Yeah.
Very depressing, but very good. So I might have to pull that up again.
Did you see that in theaters at the time?
No.
No?
No. I don't see anything in theaters.
Well, I didn't know. It was pre-kids, you know?
No. No. Saw it at home.
Do you remember the chatter at the time about The Wrestler? Was there a lot of talk within the business and in your circles about it?
Yeah. I mean, people thought it was a great movie, but a lot of us took a step back and was like, you know, 10 years from now, is that going to be me? Because it doesn't last forever. And that's the point of the movie. You know, one day you're hot and you're 20 something and you're running the territories and you have a full-time gig with a company and, you know, you find yourself on top of the world. And I said it so many times, you're a rock star, you're untouchable. And then you lose your job, things don't go your way, and you go back to the indies. And at first you're making really good money because you're fresh off TV. And then it starts to taper down a little bit. And then you might lose that, you know, hotness that you once had. And then you struggle. You try to get bookings. Some of us do really well and some of us don't, you know? And then it's like, you say to yourself, is this something I still can do? Or do I need to go into the real world and get a job? And that's what guys struggle with, because most of these guys for 30, 40, even 50 years of their life, they didn't have a job where they had to report 9 to 5 every day. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, it wasn't structured. You make your own schedule when you're a professional wrestler and you're not signed with a company. So it's like, It made you think about your future and what you don't want to happen. Because I will never sit at a table like that and have one guy come up and get my autograph. Like, if that ever happened, that tells me I need to stop. I need to hang it up. That's what I think.
That scene, you know, I think was grossly exaggerated with that convention in that VFW hall with the guy with the, no leg.
I don't, because I've seen places that looked like that. I've seen promoters try to make something out of nothing. They never advertised and no one shows up. And it's like, well, I put a post on Facebook. Oh, did you? Wait, great advertising there. You know what I mean? And it's just everybody's walking around doing nothing. You know, they got all like the one show that I went to, it wasn't even a wrestling con. It was an 80s type of con. And it was in Pennsylvania. And I went there and it was all stars. That was where Gary Busey came over to my table and was eating a donut and just chomping on this donut and dropping all these crumbs all over my table and my pictures. I wanted to kill him. But they had big 80s stars there. And the guy from a League of Their Own Corbin Burnson. He was in
Major League.
Yeah. He was walking around like there was nothing going on because nobody was there. And I think I might have sold, 10 autographs. There was no one there.
Wow.
And I said to myself, well, this isn't my fault because number one, like this isn't a wrestling convention. And we were told the guy never promoted it. There was no promotion whatsoever. So everybody was literally just sitting there, just either talking to talent or on their phones. The cops came. They almost arrested Gary Busey. There was a fight. Oh, no, it was a mess. Oh, wow. But no, I've seen conventions that were really bad. And I was told about conventions that I wasn't at that were really, really bad. So like, I don't, who do you blame? Do you blame the promoter if there wasn't enough advertising? Or if they did advertise, do you blame the talent for not drawing? You know, it's kind of, it's a slippery slope when you get to that point of your career. And it's just like, if you see no one come up to your table anymore, it's pretty much a telltale. Like you're pretty much done.
Right. Yeah, that's sad. How about the rumors of who the wrestler was about? You ever hear any?
No. I never heard that it was based on one particular person at all.
Speculation over the years. Some people said possibly, you know, Roddy Piper was a basis for the character. Others said maybe Greg Valentine was an inspiration for the character. But,
Piper would always have a crowd. So that... I can't believe it would be based on Piper. And didn't he have a wife?
But I think more like the attitude of the character. Oh,
well, if you look at it that way, but I mean the loneliness and the desperation of still wanting to be in the spotlight, but being, you know, a 60-something-year-old, I think that's what he was, wasn't he? So he was up there.
He was getting up there, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that I can't contribute to Piper because Piper would draw a crowd if he was 100.
Yeah.
Everybody wanted Piper's autograph. This guy, you know, it was just sad. He was just trying to hang on to any little bit of glory that he had. And it really makes you think, you know. Yeah. And I think about that every day. I'm like, man, when I get to that point, that's when I say to myself, I'm just going to stay home. Yeah. I'm gonna just hang it up. So I don't think I'm there yet, but I think I have a little bit of time left.
Don't never underestimate those ECW fans. They'll keep everybody alive. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, especially this April. So
that's right. All right, let's go back to the questions here. Uh-huh. We got Samuel Johnson at Samuel 3701-3441 to be exact. In your opinion, where did Vince McMahon go wrong with promoting Bam Bam Bigelow?
Oh my God, I couldn't even tell you. Stephen New just sent me a text message. So I feel like Bam Bam to me is a main eventer. Bam Bam is a guy that I always thought could do it all. We've talked about Bam Bam because I've worked with him very closely for years. For a big guy, he would float across that ring. He never got winded. He was so athletic and he was a team player. Whatever you needed from him, from what I saw in ECW, he would do. I never saw him complain. I never saw him try and politic. He was just a team player. He was a guy that you wanted on your squad. The Lawrence Taylor thing is the one that keeps popping in my head. Like everybody says, oh, they did him dirty with Lawrence Taylor. He did business. You know, he went in there. He made him shine. He put him over. He did the right thing. I don't know what happened with him in that company that stopped him from ever reaching that main event championship status. I couldn't tell you. I just know that the Bam Bam that I knew was a lovely soul who worked hard and did anything he could for his company.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And if you want to read stories or hear stories about why Bam Bam might not have attained some of those main event statuses that you think he should have, just go talk to the guy who runs NXT now. There might be something behind that, because it was very documented that the Click held Bam Bam back. And
I don't know why.
I don't know why either, because, you know, there's a couple things that have been pointed out over time. Obviously, Vince liked Bam Bam because he picked Bam Bam to work with Lawrence Taylor and put him in that main event spot at WrestleMania. He could have picked anybody. He could have picked Rick Martel. He could have picked anyone. But the Click singled out Bam Bam for some reason to not want him to be part of the plan, I guess. And they didn't necessarily want to get rid of him, but they didn't want him in that top picture. And Bam Bam, you know, he wasn't a big fan of them either. And he did not work out with that group. So he didn't last.
There's a lot of stories about the Click holding people back. It's just, is it based off of jealousy? You know, it's like keeping the spot for themselves. I don't know, man. All I know is Bam Bam was a pleasure to work with. And even though he broke my pelvis, that was a complete accident. But he was a delight and he was so good at what he did. And I miss him and I love him. And I just feel like I think Paul made him shine in ECW. And I think he deserved that. And he was proud of that. And he was proud to be a part of our locker room.
Yeah. So I'm just, when I remember seeing him there, like, you know, he jumped in for a cup of coffee here and there, you know, before he landed back in 97. Mm-hmm. But like when you saw that he was staying as a fan, you're like, wow, that's really cool that Bam Bam Bigelow is in ECW.
Yeah. He's a great guy.
All right, here we go. How about this one? We have Scott Beckett. Did you enjoy working with Justin Credible, and any favorite moments or matches with him?
Yeah, I loved working with Justin Credible. I feel like PJ and I clicked right away. It was a similar connection to what I had with Shane. And working with him, I got to not master, but I got to like really amp up my mic work because Paul let me be his mouthpiece for a lot of segments. And I feel my character, although I still feel like Shane and I together were like the perfect on-screen couple. But I feel like my character grew so much with PJ in a sense of me just being more vocal, being more of like a dominant female on the microphone, because I didn't get that with Shane. I never really got to talk. Shane was so good at his craft and so good speaking wise. He never really needed me to talk. PJ was good, but just Paul felt like he needed that little oomph and let me shine on the microphone more so. And I really got comfortable because in the beginning, I was petrified of the mic. I was always afraid I was going to mess up and blah, 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 blah. And I just feel like towards the end is where I finally got into my groove. And I cut some really good promos, I feel. But him and I working together was great. He was so over as a heel. And I just feel like putting me with him just added to that. Meaning they just hated us even more. And the whole, you know, you don't have the belt, you don't have me kind of thing. It kind of worked. So, yeah, I loved working with him. He was great. And okay. As for like like one of the most memorable matches, the one that keeps popping in my head all the time is when we worked Tajiri. And I think we watched it years ago. It was like a 2-on-1 more so than just like I had a spot and that was it. Like I was in and out of that ring 42 times. It was just such a good match. And I got a lot of accolades for that one. Because I just kept trying to help him over and over. And it wasn't just once. It was like three or four times. And then I took the mist and, you know, we went under the ring and I got choked out and I almost went through a table. And there was so much action in it. It was like a double team on Tajiri. And Tajiri was great about it. And that match just always stands out in my head. It was so fun to do.
That's a good one. Yeah. We did watch that years ago.
We did. Yeah. And it was a lot of fun. So.
All right. How about this one? Thomas J. 1183. This is a great one. How about this? Hypothetically, if you were forced to leave ECW in the mid to late 90s and had both WWF and WCW offering you similar contracts to jump ship, which company do you think you would have chosen? The WWF's Attitude Era or WCW's NWO Era?
Well, it would have been the wrong choice, but I would have probably chose WCW. And we all know it would have been the wrong choice because they went under right after we did. But they were throwing money at guys like crazy, like big, big, big amounts of money. My friends were going there. A lot of my friends left ECW to go to WCW. So I would have had a little group already there that I could have hung out with. And I was a huge NWO mark. I loved the NWO. I never was into DX. That wasn't my thing. DX to me was childish and locker room, teenage locker room humor. Whereas like the NWO was just cool and edgy. And that got me. And I loved everything that they did until they started doing different factions with the NWO. That kind of took away from the original concept of it. But man, I love them so much and I enjoyed watching it as a fan. So I think I would have went with WCW and I would have lost my job a year later.
That's too funny. I could see you in the NWO as like the NWO babe, you know, like somebody.
Like when Miss Elizabeth went there and she started like getting more physical, I was like, yes, finally, because, you know, don't get me wrong. Elizabeth is a staple in professional wrestling, but she always played the like, oh my God, like she didn't really do much. She was the beautiful side piece to Randy Savage. She was a great character, so to speak, because, you know, she was the one that they were fighting over. She was always the one in the middle of the controversy, but she never really bumped and she never really talked. She didn't do much. And if I get backlash for that, I'm sorry, but look at her work. Like she was always the like, oh my God, poor me kind of damsel in distress. Right.
Yeah.
When she went with the NWO and started doing stuff, I was just like, that is what I've been waiting for from this woman for years. Because I knew she had it in her, but I guess the powers that be just didn't want her to go that route, you know? Right. And as good as she was playing the damsel, I thought she shined in the NWO. I loved seeing her more physical. Yeah. You know, that just made my day. And it just made me just, I loved her before, but I loved her even more when she was in the NWO. Even more when she was, with Savage, great. But when she was in the NWO, I thought she shined. And I loved it.
She was wearing, you know, like the lower cut outfits and leather and NWO shirts.
I know that, yeah, she wore like these shiny leatherish pants, black, yeah. And she had like a sparkly t-shirt. I was like, she looks so cute. Cause you always saw her in dresses, like you never saw her. And then she would come out with the little NWO shirt. And then I think like she slapped somebody and then she like jumped on somebody. I was like, yes. I love this, Miss Elizabeth. Like, this is what I'm waiting for. Because I love when the girls get physical.
Yeah.
So
they used her in the beginning of the storyline. They used her as like a huge pawn in like the, you know, mind games aspect of you don't know who's going to turn next. Like,
yeah.
She was a huge part, but I could see if you went there, they'd use you in like the, you know, seductress role, and they'd put you in like, I could see them. I could literally see you with the Outsiders. That's where I could see you if you were in the NWO.
Yeah, that would have been a dream, because they were like one of my favorite factions. So, man, what could have been, but it would have been a disaster again, because would WWE or F at the time, whoever they were, would they have bought my contract out? Would I have went over to them? Like, you don't know what could have happened.
Yeah.
You know, and meanwhile, what happened was I just went to the Indies and was making a hell of a lot of money that first couple years back, because, you know, again, they pay once you're off TV. Those indies snatch you up and they pay you tons of money to come to their shows. And it was great.
Interesting. Now, these next two questions will be kind of back to back, semi connected. This first one asked, any negative interactions with fans during your original ECW run?
Yeah, plenty. All the fans who touched me, punched me, kicked me, spit on me was a negative interaction. And I've discussed those several times. Call me whatever you want. I said it so many. You can call me any name in the book. I don't care. Don't touch us. And for a fan to take liberties and reach over that guardrail and think it's okay to grab a woman by the hair or punch her in the face, which I've been sucker punched before, or lean over and rip my dress off me. That's happened before. You know, who gave you permission to put your hands on me? And why would you want to put your hands on me? I never understood that. It's okay if you hate me. Just keep in mind, I'm playing a character, number one. You know, some of these people think it's real. I'm playing a character. But if I didn't lean over and punch you or spit on you, why do you have the audacity to punch me?
Right.
What gives you the right to touch me?
Yeah.
Shouldn't. And that's what pissed me off. Like, that's what makes, you know, performing in front of a live crowd not enjoyable. Stuff like that. And when that happened, morale goes down. You lose time in your match. It just makes you pissed off. And you lose your timing. Like, you know, you just wasted 3 minutes trying to get somebody kicked out of the building, especially if you're on a pay-per-view. You only have so many minutes to work. And if you go long, you screw somebody else out of their match. So you have to cut your match short. So anytime stuff like that happened, it would piss me off. Like, keep your hands to yourself. And they deserve to be thrown out of the building. Well, I paid a ticket. Well, then don't touch me. Simple as that.
That's one of the rules of your ticket purchase.
Use your brain. That's the one thing I never understood was these guys. And it was guys.
Right.
99% of the time I got hit by men. Which blew my mind. It's like, really? Look at me. Why? Why are you going to hit me? You know? It wasn't like I did a snot rocket like like Shane would do, like he would do a snot rocket or take somebody's, yeah, take somebody's shirt or, you know, blow your, I didn't touch these people and I wouldn't touch these people, but for some reason they would touch me and I did not appreciate it and I did not enjoy it. And I would call that a bad interaction.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Because there's nothing like a weekend pause with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well.
Listen, I've got a couple of things in a bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is. With just a few taps on the app, you can have Angie tackle your home service project start to finish.
With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. It's your one-stop shop. Angie can help you find the best price for your project by comparing quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps or book services at an upfront price based on local data. They get the difficulties that can come with home projects. They get it. Why not make it as simple as possible? Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com or download the app today.
That was the question was asked by at B3ANR. The follow up underneath it, did any of the, have you ever seen an instance where something happened to yourself or another female performer early in the night and then later on you saw one of the boys enact revenge on the perpetrator as the night went on and they found the person that might have hit the girl or hit the other performer and maybe knock them while they're going through the crowd?
No, because whatever happened was taken care of that minute.
Oh, they got ejected and that was it.
Atlas, right there. And usually, if it was like Shane or PJ or somebody with me, they would go and grab the guy, but then Atlas would be like right there. So it was taken care of. Nothing ever waited until later because you're not going to let that guy stay in the building.
Right.
You're going to kick his ass out. So, yeah, nothing was ever put on hold. Everything was just taken care of as soon as possible.
Got it. All right. So then the other question is by anti-IWC. If Francine is in public, when is the absolute worst time or situation to approach for an autograph or pic?
I don't really think there's a bad time to me. Like, I know a lot of the boys say while we're eating, don't come up to us while we're eating. I guess if, you know, somebody has food in their mouth, that could be a little awkward if you come walking over. I mean, it doesn't happen to me much because I don't look like I used to, but when I do get recognized, I enjoy talking with fans. I don't mind it at all. But, you know, if there, I guess if there's like a situation where it doesn't look like it's the right time, you should use your better judgment and maybe wait until it is the right time.
So. Okay. So not with a mouthful of Chipotle.
Yeah, no, which I love, by the way. I've had it like 3 or 4 times and now I'm addicted to it.
I passed it on your timeline going back to this, this post.
So good. It is so good. I love it.
Okay. How about this one? At Swax One, how come you never went ahead and posed for Playboy when you used to be in ECW?
I just didn't want to do it. I just didn't feel like it was something that I wanted to do. No offense to those who did, but it just wasn't for me, you know? And that's the only answer I have.
So funny that now in the time we are, how that's not like considered a big thing anymore.
Mm-mm.
Isn't that crazy how like in the 90s, that was a huge deal.
Yeah.
Now it's like, meh, what are you going to do?
I feel like because so many women have done it. And like if, you know, back in the 90s, I was really comfortable with my body. Obviously, yeah. I didn't mind, you know, wearing the little outfits and stuff. I was okay with it. But I wasn't like 100% willing to show everything. You know what I mean? But a lot of the women were, and that's fine. It's like, whatever's good for you is good for you. Nowadays, it seems like, I think especially with like the internet, and everybody being able to make tons of money off of the sex industry, more and more people are like doing, well, the dirty magazines aren't really out there, but like the OnlyFans and these other sites that you can just pose nude on. And it's more, I think it's more accepted today than in the 90s, like almost like, oh my God, Playboy's like taboo, so to speak. Like it was a big deal if you posed for Playboy, but I feel like with everybody showing the goods these days, it's not that big of a deal.
Right.
You know, and you're making more money today than you would have back then anyway. So it's like the girls that didn't show the goods in the 90s that are on OnlyFans today, they're making so much more money than they would have for a pictorial. Cause I don't even think they paid that great. Like you had to be Playboy of the Year to get like $100,000, according to the documentary that I saw. So like a regular spread might've been 5 or 10 G's, which is great money, but it's like, okay, then what do you do? They never use you again. You already showed everything. So.
Well, just wait it out for a lot of your favorites. Cause it's
I'm gonna
only
wait
a matter of time.
Like 83.
Oh, there you go.
Hey. No, it's just something that I never really aspired to do. So
just like I said, wait it out for some of your favorites, folks, because it's only a matter of time. Like Britney Spears on Instagram. I mean, you don't need to subscribe or wait for her to post for anything. Just go on there. What?
Didn't she show her boobs or something on Instagram?
She just always goes out covering, just doing everything, but you know,
so weird.
She does everything but show it. But I mean, you know, there's.
Does she make money by doing that?
I'm sure she's monetizing her posts.
Oh,
in
man.
Some way.
Crazy.
But Liz just finished her book.
Yeah, so I read it on a plane in like an hour.
Said it's like it's written by a third grader.
That's so quick. It's so quick, but it's sad.
Yeah, like, that's what she said too.
Sad for her. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're big fans of Brit in this house.
Yeah, I'm too.
All right. How about this one? At case_78, which ECW talent should be the next to go into the WWE Hall of Fame?
Wow. Well, I think that's a no-brainer. I think it should be Paul Heyman, and I think it should be in April at WrestleMania in Philly. I think that would be the ideal spot to do it. I feel like he deserves it. I also feel like Todd Gordon should get some kind of accolade, but it'll never, ever happen. Unfortunately. But yeah, if I had to pick one person, it should be Paul Heyman.
That's a good pick. Very curious to see how they do it because, you know, there's a lot of rumors as to how the Hall of Fame's going to be constructed now that Triple H is running it.
Yeah.
You know, obviously Philly, it's ECW country, but now that Vince isn't around, you know, does Vince get inducted into the Hall of Fame because he's not around?
No, I don't think so.
You know?
Yeah. I don't think now's the time to do that. I think Philly should, I don't, have they announced anyone yet?
No, no rumors. No, there's nothing on the table outside of any ECW murmurs.
Yeah. Because at first, the big rumor was that they were going to get like four or five of us. And everybody was saying they're going to induct ECW as a company. And I was just like, really? And then that kind of got shot down. And then it was like, oh, they're going to do Paul. And they're going to have a bunch of you behind Paul. I was like, okay. And then I heard that got shot down. And it was like, just Paul. And I was like, oh, okay. You know? So who knows? I don't know. You can get a call the day before and say, hey, you want to make a payday? Come on down. So I have no clue.
That 203 number on your phone is going to come up. Francine, get your little podcast, buddy. Get your ass down here to Philly.
Oh yeah, like he's going to ask for you. What are you, insane?
No. I remember when he used to work here. Get his ass down here again.
Jesus, yeah, right. I doubt that. And I would let that call go to voicemail, by the way. I wouldn't even pick it up.
They said, she's definitely going to pick up. Hello. What?
No. If I don't know the number, I don't pick it up. Sorry.
There's a follow-up here with Case_78. Also, what is your favorite ECW pay-per-view and why is it Heatwave 98 and 99?
It is not. It is not Heatwave 98 and 99. It will always be Barely Legal 97 because that is the first pay-per-view we've ever done. And even though the match wasn't as great as it could have been, the build-up and the rah-rah session in the locker room beforehand will always be in my head and in my memory and documented by Barry Blaustein for years to come. So, yeah, that pay-per-view just always stands out to me. It's the first. Might not be the best, but it was our first effort into that realm. And I'll never forget that night, ever. I watch clips of it, and I still get chills. It's something that we never thought we'd achieve. And we did it, you know, and it's a big deal. It was a big deal for us. So that's why it'll always be my favorite.
Awesome. So great. At Pure Massacre 89 wants to know, who did you have the most fun working with besides Shane Douglas? Of course.
I mean, I enjoyed mostly 99% of that roster. But again, the triple threat was just so unique. We were so close in and out of the ring. And I think that's what made it like so fun. You're working with like your best friends and especially like Candido. I said it a million times, like working with him was so easy and he brought so much comedy into the match and it just lightened the mood. Especially if I'm going out there with Shane for one match, Chris for another match, Bammer for another match. There are so many different aspects and layers to the way that each person works. And with Chris, again, I knew I didn't have to like go crazy memorizing things. I knew he had a million ha-ha spots that we were going to do and that it was just going to be a good time. So I enjoyed almost everybody, but like Chris just made it hysterical on a different level. It's just easy working with him.
Great choice. How about this one? Scott Casilius 6062. We know Scott from a couple different posts that he's made. He wants to know your top 10 favorite wrestler entrance themes, but we're gonna narrow it down to top three.
Oh Jesus.
We're gonna edit that. Top three.
Top three. Geez. I have my top two. I need a third. Second favorite was Raven's entrance music. Come Out and Play. Love that song.
Separated.
Yeah. Yeah. That one I always enjoyed walking out to. My favorite ever was PJ's Snap Your Finger, Snap Your Neck. I love that song. That was fun coming out to. I told Shane so many times, and he would always be like, "Are you kidding me?" Perfect Strangers, I guess, fit, but it wasn't my favorite.
Kills me. Every time you say it, it kills me.
I didn't like, that wasn't my favorite. Man in the Box, I hate it walking out to Man in the Box with Dreamer. Like, that song didn't, they're not fun. I couldn't, like, bounce and dance to it. Like, I want something I can get in the ring and I can, like, groove to. And those, and the worst song, Terry Funk, I Love You. But Desperado, if I had to walk out the Desperado, that, I know people are saying blasphemy. I just didn't like that song. It's depressing as hell. I don't know. But those are my top two. I can't think of a third. I'm trying to think. Can I say the NWO theme for number three?
Oh, absolutely.
Even though I didn't walk out to it, but I would have loved to.
And Scott Hall says, hit that porno music.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So that would be my top three, I guess. But worst one of all time, Desperado.
It's a great song, just not a wrestling theme.
Desperado, Man in a Box. Perfect Strangers was good, but it just I don't know. I think it fit Shane and I though. I do. But it wasn't that fun though.
Hey, if it's not fun for you, you sure fooled me, because you sure look great coming out to it all the time with him.
It wasn't fun to dance to.
You could dance to it.
Shane is not a dancer. He won't dance. Like, if he does, he like does it for like 2 seconds and that's it. He's like, come on. So.
But he doesn't have to dance. He just has to deviously laugh as he's walking.
We did a convention once, and next to us was a Latin dance troupe, and they were giving salsa lessons, and it was like, they didn't have a table. It was like a really big dance. And I said, "Oh my God, let's go take the lessons." And he wouldn't do it. So I went over by myself and I took the lessons from the guy. They were right next to us, but he wouldn't even do that. I'm like, just have fun. You know, he's not a dancer.
Well, they could teach him how to dance, and he could teach them how to pantomime, you know, how to kiss his ass, you know,
right?
Whatever he could say into the camera.
Yeah. No, he didn't want to, he doesn't dance. And I love to dance.
That's funny. All right. Mostly for chicks. If you could bring one wrestler from today back to prime ECW to manage, who would it be?
Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, you said that a lot.
Said that a million times.
Let's pick somebody else. He's retired now. Don't pick him.
He's not retired. He's still here.
Pick somebody else.
Oh God, I don't know. I don't know. He'd be my pick.
All right, fine. Dolph Ziggler.
Mm-hmm. I just think he's like perfect. He's the perfect package.
At Mike. M.A. Butts, Mike Butts. Did Mike you ever Butts. Fear? Yeah, Mike Butts. Okay. Not Seymour. It's his brother, Mike.
Brother.
Okay. Did you ever fear for your own safety working at the arena in South Philly?
Again, let's go back to that other question that I answered 5 minutes ago. Of course I did. Do I have to reiterate what I just said?
No. I'm just going through what's left on the other
Yeah, list. Just people hitting you is not a good time. So walking down that aisle, especially when the aisleway was this big, like very, very small, and you had, sometimes I literally had to walk sideways to fit through, and then like Atlas would be on each side of me, and you would see the hands coming over Atlas, underneath, and out, you know, the armpit, through the arms.
And them doing this.
Yes. And thank God for that, because they did their job. But once in a while, somebody would get by them, and I was always scared until I got to the end of the aisle, and then I had more space to like be free.
So did you get like groped? Like, did you literally get?
Of course I did.
Is that an instant turnaround and get that guy out of here?
Absolutely.
Or do you not know who did it?
Somebody grabs your wife's boob. Are you
But do you, like in a crowd like that, do you know who did it? Or do you not?
I don't know who did it, but sometimes like if I felt something, I'd try and grab their hand and hold them. And then, you know, you turn around and you got this guy's hand and then Atlas would be right there and I'd be like, get him out.
Oh, wow. Or does the crowd help you and be like, it was him?
Oh, so, yeah. Sometimes they'd stooge him off too. Yeah, for sure. But there were times when I, you know, somebody would touch me. I didn't know where it came from.
Damn. Who does that? Like, who would think to do
a that? Pervert. We're a drunk guy. Maybe he drank too much. Because, you know, I was usually towards the end of the show. I mean, not going to pat myself on the back, but main event. but yeah, things happen. You know, you put alcohol out there and guys get a little rowdy. No, I'm not justifying it, but it did happen. And they get knocked on their ass for it.
You set them up and knock them down. we'll do two more here. Very odd question for this guy to ask this, but Pope John Paul III.
Oh my gosh. All right.
Wants to know, have you ever been interviewed about the ECW catfights?
About 100 times. Hello. Weird.
He would want to know about that.
Pope John Paul. Good Lord. Yeah. I mean, what does he want to know about them? That's a vague question.
Just wants to know if you've ever been interviewed specifically about them.
People have asked questions. How, you know, how are they? How was it doing, performing, you know, doing them? And I say some were better than others. Most were scripted. Couple were shoot. We'll leave it at that.
And I guess this last one would be more about the story that Todd Gordon told us on the air, and it's in his book. So I'm going to kind of, I'll ask this question, but I'll also kind of rephrase it to kind of fit maybe something that you're familiar with. But the question is by Jason Fields at JFields85. I want to know about the Sandman story about hiding cocaine around the famous ECW Econo Lodge back in the day. So obviously I believe he's talking about the story that Todd Gordon told in the book where
I wasn't there.
Yeah. He hid it underneath the pot and found that flower pot, found it, then had hid it underneath the carpet. Let's rephrase that to, do you remember any kind of crazy stories involving wrestlers maybe hiding things in places that were odd and, you know, might have been similar to this Sandman story?
No, I don't. And that's why it popped to like so huge when I heard that story, because I'd never heard that story in the last 30 years of my life. I've never heard that story. So that's pretty funny. The only thing I can remember, like, especially about the Travel Lodge, when I used to stay there in the beginning, I just remember, like, sometimes there was blood on the walls. It was like one of the most disgusting hotels ever, but it was so cheap. And that's where everybody stayed. You know, I'm pretty sure there was like chalk outlines of bodies on the carpet. Like, it was bad. Stains everywhere, stains all over the bed, like just disgusting. And I'm very grateful for Shane to get me out of there and tell me I need to stay at the Marriott, because that place was, as fun as it was just a cesspool of every disease you can imagine. So gross. So, but as far as hiding drugs, I was friends with the drug addicts, but I wasn't in the drug scene. So while they were partaking after hours, I really wasn't hanging with them.
Right.
So I'm not privy to these stories, a lot of these stories about finding cocaine and, you know, smoking pot and all that stuff. I didn't do it.
It's a great story, though, if you haven't read Todd Gordon's book.
That's a classic story. And if you haven't read it, go get Todd is God, because it's hilarious. But yeah, I wasn't really there for that. But I could totally see it happening.
And it's also on our YouTube live with Todd Gordon.
Yes.
He tells it as well.
Yeah, but go Forget the book. Go watch the YouTube.
Just more detail in the book. But, I mean, just see the image of Sandman running down the hall with the guys rooting him on and him picking up the flower pot. And
hilarious.
Crazy stuff. But that is it for the questions.
They were some good ones. I'm glad we went back and looked into those because it got me this morning. I was like, I'm pretty sure they left them on YouTube as well. So, good find.
Absolutely. So we'll do this again down the road and hopefully we'll switch up the questions a little bit. So we know who you'll manage. If you go back and pull somebody from the future and go to ECW, we know who. You take somebody from the future. Go back. You know, you're coming from today. Going back. So we'll switch up the questions a little bit next time if you're listening to this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds good.
All right. Well, if you want to follow me in the social media realm, it's at ChadEMB on Twitter, at IB Exclusives on Instagram, and my website is IBExclusives.com.
If you have not yet, please go over to the YouTube channel. You can type in Eyes Up Here and subscribe, leave a like, leave a comment, help us get to 10,000 subscribers. Almost there. Slowly but surely, we are climbing the ladder, and I want to reach 10K. So if you haven't already, subscribe. And if you want extra content, you could become a channel member for $5.99. But you don't have to do that. Just subscribe. Ring that bell so you get the notifications. And if you want to follow me on social media, you can find me across the board at ECW Diva Francine. I hope you are staying safe. I hope you are staying healthy. And most of all, I hope you are staying extreme.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.